Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. I'm Tom Burgoyne, joined by John Brazier. Hello, John.
Tom, there's a big smile on our faces today because it is Monday. It is following the weekend. Our last podcast was with Jim Salisbury. We were setting up the Cardinals series and going through the lineups and the matchups and all that. And here we are on Monday, and we are still alive.
Still alive. Can you believe it? And it does seem like we were just setting up the Cardinals series. It doesn't take long in a three-game series, does it? It's like bing, bang, boom.
Well,
you know?
Well, in this case, it was bing, bang, because
right,
there was
bing,
only
bang.
Two games.
There was no boom. There was no boom.
But let's go through. What I'd love to do in this short podcast, special podcast, is talk about the two games, right? Talk about the excitement in the city. And then let's set up the Braves series.
Can I just say, it never happens in sports, usually. And certainly sometimes, you know, in Philadelphia, it just never happens this way. We're always living and dying and, you know, games are, but it really set up the way we all hoped that Wheeler and Nola would pitch two great games. And that's, you know, would propel us to two wins.
And I think that's why a lot of teams would be scared to play the Phillies because, you know, a lot of teams have depth in their pitching. But when you have a short matchup and you do have two of those aces that are the top, you know, in war, if you look at all the different measurements, analytics, you know, Wheeler and Nola are right up there. And that's the last thing you want to do. And we might not have the depth, you know, the pitching depth, which, you know, we've done well with, you know, with guys like, you know, Falter obviously played well, and Syndergaard gave some good starts.
Oh, Ranger Suarez
sure. Who we got to save, and you know, we had some glimpses in the beginning of Gibson, and you know, but at the same time, when you get a short series, and when you have Wheeler and Nola, I mean, come on. But let's talk about it. So Friday, right? Let's talk. You were with the Fanatic, and the Fanatic did the rally bus, right?
The rally bus was awesome. And it was great, John, because, you know, the way we were kind of on pins and needles all September, obviously didn't have the month that we wanted to have. And so you're wondering, man, are the fans a little nervous? Is, you know, are they really behind this team? And I'm telling you, we hit probably a dozen spots with the rally bus in 2 days, on Thursday and Friday. And everywhere we went, big crowds, everybody's fired up. I mean, it just gave me so much joy, you know, just to see everybody so fired up for Phillies playoff baseball.
Yeah, and rally towels everywhere. And I was on the bus on Thursday. We went more in the suburbs, Conshohocken, King of Prussia Town Center, Wayne. We went to an elementary school in East Falls. And
that was fun. Those kids were fired up.
They were fired up.
East Falls, you know, they lined up all the kids out in the schoolyard. And, again, you know, you're not really sure. Like, are they going to be, you know, excited? I don't know. They're all elementary kids. And that bus pulled up. We had the disc jockey, you know, on the bus.
DJ Hollywood.
DJ Hollywood firing up the tunes. And, well, the Fanatic, of course, was in the middle of everything. But, you know, our promotion staff is giving out the rally towels. And, you know, we were there for, you know, just doing line dances and, you know, just partying with the teachers. And that was a great way to start the rally bus.
All right, so let's go through Friday. So we actually come to game time. Where are you for the game?
Well, the Phillies had a great viewing party for front office employees right at Passon Stowe, which was perfect because it was a beautiful day, and it was great. We were outside, got to bring a guest, so I brought my brother Joe, and you know, it was tough because we weren't scoring runs, and it was a nail-biting game, and it's like we weren't making a lot of noise. I think my brother Joe was like, man, you know, these are Phillies employees. I think he thought we'd all just be going nuts the whole time, and it's like, we were pretty quiet for a good bit of the game.
Because everyone was nervous?
Everybody was nervous, right. You know. But, of course, it's playoff baseball, so you're living and dying with every pitch, you know.
Right.
And then the ninth inning came, and, well, you know what happened.
Right. Well, so for me, I was, you know, at the ballpark. And it was 1 o'clock, and I said to myself, you know what? I'm just going to go down to the watch party. That's where everyone's going to go, right? And I said to myself, I know myself, and I know that I get too stressed during games. I need to focus in. So I literally got in my car at 1 o'clock. I didn't know where I was going, and I started heading towards home. And then a buddy of mine calls me up and says, hey, I'm watching the game at Great American Pub in Wayne. That's where I grew up. So I went and watched with my brother and some high school buddies. And I was well-behaved. I just couldn't control myself in a work environment. I was scared I was going to scream at one of our players. But let's go through that game. So Wheeler is pitching. Obviously, you got Zach Wheeler.
And may I just say, John, you know, watching it with our coworkers was a lot of fun. I'm sorry we missed you because – you do find out how people watch the games. We, you know, I know Troy Satin, who's also does a great job for the Phillies. You know, he just like sat there and stared at the TV. But then there were times he would just get up and like go walk off by himself, like you know, in another world. But then we had Kelly Juergen in our community relations department, and who else? Jackie. They left at a cert, just before the ninth inning started, and here the Phillies go on the big rally. They tried to come back for the bottom of the ninth inning.
And they wouldn't let them?
We wouldn't let them back to the party.
I'm very superstitious. So, Zach Wheeler, you can't say enough about the guy, right? Just does an unbelievable outing. He goes...
First time in the playoffs, too, which is just... I was thinking of Roy Halladay, too, for whatever reason, you know, just because it was Roy's first, you know, time, you know, his first game. He throws a no-hitter, and I just was thinking of Roy during that game, like, wow, this is just so cool that this is Zach's first playoff appearance, and he's just stepping up.
Right, so then Alvarado gets the last out in the seventh, right?
Yep.
And then it gets down, we're down 2-0 still. We go down to the ninth. So now it's down 2-0. Everyone in Philadelphia is probably like, look at this. We're getting shut out.
Right.
You know, we haven't been in a playoff game since 2011 to the day, 11 years before that. That's the ugly day when Chris Carpenter basically closed us out, when everyone remembers Ryan Howard going down with the Achilles heel. That's the lasting memory, and just people just were really upset.
Was it also Black Friday to the day, too?
Was it?
You know, that loss against the Dodgers?
I'm not sure. I know it's obviously that it was.
I thought there were a couple things that happened on that day. So, yeah, we're thinking of
it. It was to the day. So I'm sitting there going, we're down 2-0. And then what happened? You know what happened, Tom? Is that the game was on ESPN? Was it our.
No, I think it was on Channel 6. Yeah, it was on 6. ABC.
ABC. Yeah. Okay, so. Yep. They put up the graphic. The Cardinals are 93-0 all time. The postseason went up by two or more runs after eight. I saw that, and I turned to my brother and I said, "You know what? That's the kiss of death.
Nice.
We're coming back, because I know how that works. If I was a Cardinals fan, I'd be livid at what they just showed on the screen. Because you're just asking, you're tempting the baseball gods to really upset you." So sure enough, I guess Rhys Hoskins gets the first out, right? I'm doing this off of memory, not any notes. Rhys Hoskins first out. So now you got one out. So now you're two outs away from base league.
Yep.
Well, then JT gets a hit, right? You have Harper, works a great walk. Great walk. Castellanos gets a great walk. All of a sudden, Helsley, their pitcher, who jammed his finger earlier that week against Pittsburgh, or the week before.
Did you know that?
I did, because they were talking about whether he's going to play or not, because they were talking about this the bullpen.
I missed that.
Yeah, so all of a sudden he's wild. Now it's bases loaded, one out, 2-0. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to get excited. You're feeling it, right? And then boom, gets nailed on the shoulder
and gets up smiling and clapping.
I mean, I've never seen a guy just right there, boom, and then clapping, right?
Yeah,
goes right there. It's 2-1. Now you're really feeling it. They take him out, right? And then they bring in, again, I'm doing this without notes. They bring in another reliever. It was not Gallegos, but it was Pallet, something. So anyway.
Some tool.
Some tool. And who do you have coming up to bat? I said, again, to the people around me, I said, you know what? If there's one guy on this team that I want up in this moment, it's Gene Segura. Because Gene Segura is going to get his bat on the ball. He's going to put it in play. Now, it could be a double play if he does it, but you know he's probably not going to strike out in this situation. And similar to guys like Vlad Guerrero and other guys that'll hit it anywhere, right? That ball was low down to the right. Gene basically takes a golf swing, gets his bat on the ball. It goes to the right of the second fielder,
infield playing in a little bit. Huge.
Right. Yeah. And next thing you know, we score. Then we score runs, and then Sosa gets aggressive on the next.
Would you play the infield in there? Now, I know it's late in the game, but they have a 2-run lead.
Right. And they have bases loaded.
It was a 1-run lead.
At that point.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess.
Because Bohm got hit, right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, do you play for the double play? And
there's so many second thoughts. Yeah. But you know,
game of inches, though.
And sometimes, and it's a game of inches, and sometimes just everything goes your way, or sometimes, if you're a Cards fan, it doesn't go your way. You know, just if that ball is a little to the left, that could be, you know, definitely two outs, and we're talking something different.
Yep.
Or And then all of a sudden, you get Stott. You know, now that was a nice. Sosa basically came down, and it was a close play, right? It was the right move by the first baseman.
Yes.
I think he got it. I mean, people were saying he should have just touched first and gotten the out.
No, you
no, he
go
was
home.
Too far removed from the first base.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got to go home. It was kind of a bing bang play.
Yep. Great slide.
Right, yep. And then we get it. Marsh's, I guess, ball. Same thing goes under the DeJong's glove. So it just inches.
Arenado's glove. Like the greatest third baseman, defensive third baseman in the world. And, you know, he doesn't make that play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that it was just crazy. And what was the best part, John?
Best part was watching the St.
Yes.
Louis fans leave.
Yes.
Right. And to
baseball
hear that
heaven.
That was one of the, you know, it was the biggest comeback in a postseason game,
yeah,
you know, with that many runs. And then even just the way it ended, too, Zach Eflin coming in for the close, right?
Yeah.
He just did that Monday, you know, to basically get us into the playoffs. And got a little scary, right?
Yep.
But everything was fine. And just how awesome was that?
Yeah, it was. It was.
And
it was
I think
great.
that broke the back of the Cardinals. You knew that now all of a sudden they're down.
Yeah.
Pressure's on them. They know they're going up against Nola, who pitched a phenomenal game, you know, earlier in the week.
Yep.
And sure enough.
But Nola had to go back out and do it a second time. And, you know, he did it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? He got a little run support. And it was good to see Harper, right?
Yes.
Get Harper in the
435-foot home run, and sometimes I wonder if those measurements are right. I don't know. It looked like that ball was hit 500 feet. I mean,
right.
And maybe it was kind of a moonshot too. So you know, I got a lot of, I guess, air, but still, it was just a blast.
And it was nice to see it. Just a nice, easy swing too, right? He wasn't like just overpowering it, and I don't know if he's sitting.
Do you think that'll spark him?
I think it will.
I think
so
too.
I think a lot of it's just timing and confidence, and
yeah,
he's getting back into it. So. Again, you get Aaron Nola. You can't say enough about the guy, and I don't want to hear one other person, friend of mine, coworkers, anybody saying he's not a clutch pitcher. He's not a September guy. Well, we're not in September. We're in October,
yep.
And Aaron Nola is just dominating.
Yeah, and you have to give a shout out to Rob Thompson and the staff for, you know, I think adjusting some things for Aaron Nola in September this year and giving
right.
him the extra rest.
Yep, exactly
and,
right.
He looks. I mean, he always. Even when we drafted him, John, and they said, "Oh, he's a guy who's got great control," and he comes up, and you know, Greg Maddux was kind of on the tail end of his career, and it's like, "Boy, he's kind of like Greg Maddux." Well, watching him, it really is like that. I mean, he's all around the strike zone,
yep, and all of his pitches.
Yeah,
I mean, he was throwing this curveball more than he usually does.
Right.
I guess JT saw something in that curveball that,
yep.
And he's throwing for strikes.
Such a great curveball,
and everything comes off his fastball too. And his fastball, yep. I mean, his command was. Great.
Yeah, why does it look like his pitches do come in 100 miles an hour, but they're not? And maybe it's just because he throws that curveball, and it just seems when he throws that fastball and
yeah.
right on the corner, it's just like, man, he is on.
Right out of his hands.
He's on. Yeah,
yeah, and it was good to see, too, the bullpen. And that was a big game because you had Sir Anthony came in a big situation and got a couple strikeouts.
Strikeouts against Goldschmidt and
Arenado.
And did he face Pujols?
I don't think he did, but I
he had. I'm not sure.
So and you had Robertson,
yeah.
You know who. So it was good to see all the guys kind of get some success because
yeah.
that's going to help propel. But let's talk about. So we win. Obviously, it was a great. It was biting your nails.
Another great. We love the locker room celebration.
But that's what I'm saying. But the locker room celebration.
We talked to Jim Salisbury about that last week.
That was awesome.
I mean,
how much fun was that? And when you see that we really are a team and the camaraderie and they really love each other. And you saw Schwarber kind of doing the dance and you saw, you know, Brandon Marsh going around with his big beard and pouring beer on each other. And that song, that
I don't know what that song is. Do you know what it is?
I do. Well, it's funny. I'd never heard it before. I'm getting the...
You're looking it up on your
phone. Well, because when I watched it, I'm like, what is that song? Because I'd never heard it. It's Dancing on My Own by Calum Scott. But it must be some jazzed up version because right after the celebration, I went on Spotify and I put it on and I'm like, this song is so. I'm waiting for the big part.
It's the club
club version because the version I heard was just very mellow.
Is that the one Garrett Stubbs was dancing to? Or,
they were all dancing to it. Yeah. They're all singing. Everyone knew every word to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking this is like a, you know, this is going to be a big, upbeat, uplifting song. And no, but I guess the club version is an uplifting song.
We're going to have to find that
out. We're going to have to find that out.
I think the fanatic needs to know what that song is, I think.
Yeah, but they knew everyone, and it was just so much fun to see that. And
is it this year's version of Whoop, There It Is in 93?
Well, I asked some of the guys yesterday at the Darren Dalton event, and it was, well, it was Whoop, There It Is, and Two Princes, right, by Spin Doctors.
Yeah.
Because Spin Doctors in the locker room.
Yeah, locker room.
I think Whoop, There It Is was the one they were playing in the stands.
Yeah,
right?
But they started it. That came from the clubhouse. So they were listening to that one, too. And I think Here Come the High Steppers was a Mariana Duncan song. So there was a lot of music in 93 in the clubhouse. But
And I love how Topper went to JT, said, JT, ready? And JT said, yeah, I think he said 11 more to go, right?
Yeah.
So because JT has been instrumental with, you know, this whole year. I mean, he's really kind of that glue. Right?
Yeah, he's been the glue. But my favorite JT moment of the year, I think, was in the middle of the locker room celebration. T-Mac is interviewing Zach Eflin. And JT is...
Oh, I heard that. Yeah, cigars.
Yeah. Yes. He's completely oblivious that Zach's being interviewed. And he goes up. He's like, Zach, where are the cigars?
Right.
He goes, they're in... And Zach...
Yeah, he's oblivious that he's on the interview.
He goes, yeah. He goes, they're in my locker. They're in that brand. And JT's like, no, I checked there. No, they're in a box. It's in... And like he was laser focused to get to those cigars.
Right. You know? That was great. Like, I could watch that over and over and over.
I love locker room celebrations, yeah. John. They're just... They never get old.
So we are past the Cardinals, obviously. Just real quick, the other series, how about the comeback that Toronto had a big lead, and then they blow it to Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle's a great story this year.
Yeah,
pulling for Seattle.
Yep, and then
Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
That game goes scoreless through, I think, like 14 innings or so.
Yeah.
They did two seventh-inning stretches that game. And then they have a walk-off home run. How about that? Terry Francona. Congrats to Terry Francona. And then the game last night, again, we're recording this on Monday, where I'm sure a lot of people in the Delaware Valley were, I hate to say it, but we're rooting against the Mets.
We always root for the Mets anyway. But
ring
John,
for or against?
No, always rooting against the Mets.
Yes, of course. I was going to say.
So, yes, that was great. However, I said it last week with you and Jim, just saying, I would have loved to have another
play
crack
the Mets,
Mets, but whatever.
Yeah, I just,
it was fun
sayonara, Mets, I don't want to see them anymore. And I got to say, I was rooting for, I'm not a big Padres guy, obviously, but I was rooting every time when they just kept going up. And then they checked Musgrove's ear for, some illegal substance.
Yeah, yeah.
Buck Showalter playing a little.
They couldn't have scored 8 runs against us. Without
they're saying that
cheating.
His spin rate couldn't be that good.
Yeah.
So
have you seen the viral? The internet is unbelievable.
With the trumpet?
Yes.
And instead of the Diaz, Edmund.
Yes. It's Taps.
Right, it's Taps. Right, I saw that. Mr. Met. It started with Mr. Met.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a classic.
And you're probably going to see a lot of. Yeah, a lot more stuff like that. All right, so now we are down to NLDS, obviously. So the game, the first game is going to be on Tuesday at 107.
107.
Right? And on
Wednesday. At 437.
437. We still don't know the times yet. Again, we're recording this on Monday morning.
We don't know the times
for our home games yet.
Yeah, right.
But we do know it's going to be Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
And how crazy is it going to be in Philadelphia? Because Saturday, we have a playoff game. Friday playoff game, Saturday playoff game. The Flyers are playing, I think, that day in the afternoon. And then Sunday, we could have a game 5 in Atlanta. And the Eagles are on Sunday Night Football home against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
So talk about a sports weekend in Philadelphia. It's going to be one for the ages. Could be.
John, it is kind of like it's 2007 to 2011 all over again when we had that kind of excitement. I remember there was because we had some doubleheaders, you know, between the Eagles and the Phillies, you know, in that stretch run. And I remember the Fanatic having to go across the street to, on his ATV during as the Sunday Eagles game was ending, and he picked up Chris Myers, the announcer, because Myers did the football game, and now he had to go across the street. So Fox wanted to make this big thing of, you know, Chris Myers is doing double duty today. And so the Fanatic put Chris Myers on his ATV, and as the Eagles game's letting out, so, you know, Patterson Avenue, Darien Street, that whole area is just packed with people, and people are going nuts.
Right.
I mean, just because the Eagles had won, and now, you know, the Phillies are getting ready to play like 2 hours late, you know, and in 2 hours, and, you know, it's just great when all the teams are playing, and all the teams are playing well, you know, and, you know, the South Philly complex is just alive. Yeah, it's great.
You're right, and the teams really do support the other teams in Philadelphia,
absolutely,
which is great. So I think you're going to see a lot of Eagles guys coming out talking Phillies. You're going to have some Phillies guys talking Eagles, and especially the fact that the Eagles are 5-0 makes that much more fun, and they're playing the hated Dallas Cowboys, and we're playing the I wouldn't say the hated, but we're playing the
They're not hated? We don't hate the Braves.
Well, I'm saying they're like not – to me, they're our nemesis because they've been so good for so long, but it's – Yes, you're right, but the lesser than the
How
Mets.
How can't you hate a team lesser that won like 13 division titles
I know,
in a row
the
there
Mets
at
you
one
really
time
can't
and
stand. It's kind of like the Cowboys compared to the Redskins, right?
Well, but then, you know.
That's a bad analogy because the Redskins really haven't been
no,
that good.
No, but you say the Cowboys, you know, were America's team, and the Braves try to pass themselves off, you know,
right,
as America's team because they're Turner Network, and, you know, there was a point there that everybody was getting Braves games. So, you know, I always go back to 93. And how about it, John? Last time we played the Braves in the playoffs, we beat them.
Yep.
And so
there's a lot of 93 guys this weekend with the Darren Dalton, you know, events that's been going on in the golf tournament in the celebrity bartending. Let's talk about the Braves because it is a five-game series. The way the pitching is going to set up, and again, this is not – we know that we're going to have Suarez on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Suarez tomorrow afternoon. It looks like we're going to have Zach Wheeler on Wednesday.
They announced that, though?
No, but it looks like that's the way it's lining up. Then you're going to have – and that's on regular five-day rest. And then you're going to have Nola, obviously, on Friday. Should be at the Open. That's going to be great, having Nola, you know, at Citizens Bank Park. Again, assuming that – and he'll be on 6 days rest. I don't know what – you know, Suarez, I assume, is going to pitch this Sunday if there's a Game 5. You know, obviously, depending on what goes on in the series, it could be all hands on deck. So all those things could be thrown out the window.
Right, right.
But then on Saturday, do they go Syndergaard? Does he go Bailey Falter, who didn't pitch well against the Braves last time?
Yep.
Not in the not too distant future or in the distant past. Maybe there's a combination. Maybe he does. Maybe he kind of has both those guys, depending on right left.
Yep.
You know, with the Braves. So it'll be interesting. Braves, meanwhile, they're going to go Max Fried.
Fried won.
Lefty.
Right.
1-1. Right.
Yeah.
Who's a 21-game winner. We'll go second. Now, the wild card is this Strider.
Yeah.
Strider just dominated us. Young kid, rookie. The kid out of Clemson he throws gas. Absolute gas. Now, he's got an oblique.
Right.
I heard some optimistic things from the Braves' perspective that he could be back. Now, if you're back, you also got to think him long-term in the playoffs and long-term, obviously, for his career. So he's coming off an oblique. So even if he's pitching, my guess is either coming out of the bullpen in a short stint or he might be starting, but he's certainly not going to have a long leash, my guess. Now, again, maybe he's going to recover.
Or they could save him. Instead of going game three, they could save him to game four or game five because it does seem like a day-to-day thing.
And gives him a little more rest.
A little bit more rest,
But still, my guess is that they wouldn't push him too much.
Well, you got Charlie Morton, I guess, would be the
Charlie
guy
Morton
who would
start. Would be the three for the most part. Again, unless a Strider is not part of it. Yes, Charlie Morton, the veteran who had a cup of coffee with the Fightin' Phils.
Oh, gosh. Let's not go there.
Yeah, we're not going to go there. but then their lineup, you know, their lineup. We're throwing the lefty out, you know, with Suarez game one. You know, the guy that we got to shut down, much like we shut down the Cardinals, you know, Arenado, Pujols, and Goldschmidt were shut down by us. We need to do the same thing. But this is more, you know, you got Austin Riley, superstar. Yeah. You got obviously Acuna, superstar.
Yeah. Olsen's been struggling a little bit.
But you know, obviously that guy has done damage against a superstar. Yeah. And just like when you're watching all the playoffs, and like Grissom last night for the Padres, you get certain guys that'll step up.
And a guy like Dansby Swanson seems like one of those type that guys could kind of, you hate to see him be a, I mean, he's had a great year too.
Right, and he's more on the superstar category, it's going to be, Grissom for the Braves, it's going to be a Contreras for the Braves, or Arcia, or one of those guys, Ozuna.
Nobody's going to, John, I think we're putting a whammy on the team.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that who their superstars are, and they've got a good mix and good balance, righties, lefties. They've got pretty good depth. They're going to have to make some decisions. Yes. But at the same time, if I'm a Braves fan or you work for the Braves, I'm scared of the Phillies because, you don't have that. The good news is for them is that you don't have the match. We don't have the rotation set like we want to, right? So we're going to – but still, you're going to get game 2 and 3, which could be crucial games, where you're going to have Wheeler and Nola, right? And Suarez is no slouch either, so you're going to get him possibly 2 games. So, really, against the Cardinals, we didn't hit with runners in scoring position.
I was just going to say, I think, obviously the offense hasn't played up to their capability, but when you look at our lineup, and especially with the way, all season, how the bottom of the lineup has helped, and kind of carried us for a good stretch, if the top part of our lineup and the big boys start to hit, it's a dangerous lineup, but we just haven't, reached that potential yet.
If we get that with the pitching, I mean, look out. I mean, seriously, we have not hit with runners in scoring position, but we're able to get runs, similar to what we've talked about. We've manufactured runs. We've just put the bat on the ball, taken walks, hit by pitches, sacrificed flies. But all of a sudden, if we get Hoskins hot, we get Schwarber, who was just last week was scorching. Now Harper now in this, way. You get the production still from the Marshes and the Seguras and the Stotts and the Vierlings and the – I mean, it's
now this you're talking.
Be fun.
Now you're talking my language.
Yes.
You were getting a little weird there, like, oh, who's going to be the superstar for Atlanta?
Well, I wanted to give the listeners what we're facing with the Braves.
Yeah.
But again, I'd be more scared as a Braves fan than I would as us looking at their lineup.
Exactly right, John.
Right? And they don't have one pit. They don't have a DeGrom or a.
Right.
I mean, they have the only 21 game winner in baseball. Right? And they got Max Fried, who's one of the best, but they're not scary like a DeGrom or Scherzer.
All right, now let's not go too far the other way. Now you're like,
whatever.
They're not scary. Only won 21 games.
Bottom line, this is going game 5.
I know.
It's
going to
go
I'm
game
nervous.
5, and every Philadelphia fan's going to be sweating it on Sunday, because we're going to have that, and we're going to have the Eagles Dallas, and we're going to be, it'll be, everyone take their Maylocks that day.
Oh.
Right?
I think so. Well, John, it's going to be good. I can't wait.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and I know, Tom, you got a golf outing today, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun out here. This, the Darren Dalton Foundation is just doing great work. You mentioned a little bit, John, about yesterday we had the celebrity bartending event, and great time to be a Phillies fan, and just also to see these 93 guys back. And cool to be talking about the 93 when they played the Braves. There have been some great stories all weekend. So it's going to be a great day.
Maybe the vibes of the guys that beat the Braves in 1993 will carry over to help the team beat the Braves in 2022.
Now I'm kicking myself because I should have brought my Spin Doctor's pocket full of Kryptonite CD to the, I should have brought it out today. And, maybe we should play that in the locker room.
There you go.
I would love that.
There you go.
All right. Well, that's it, John. This was our playoff edition.
And you know what, Tom? Hopefully we'll be back next week when we're previewing the Padres or the Dodgers.
I like it.
For the NLCS.
I like it. All right, fans. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Go Phillies, and we'll see you next time on Phillies Backstage. Backstage.